it always has to be in their best interest, right? They're not going to take our call because we want to sell them. So we've always got to be providing real value.
Hey there, it's Liston Witherell, host of Inside Selling once again, and I am here for the second time in about a month talking about social selling. Now, why would I be here twice in a month talking about social selling? I'm going to let our guest, Bryn Tillman, tell you why social selling is something you should be paying attention to. Bryn, how are you today?
I'm great, Liston. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm very excited that you're here. And I was hoping you could start off by saying a little bit about social selling and why we should be paying attention. But I want to give you a proper introduction. So you work with a company called Vengresso, and you are transforming the way professionals grow their business through leveraging LinkedIn, social selling, and digital sales tools. So I'm wondering, why should I care about this if I'm a sales organization and I'm used to cold calling and sending, you know, 10,000 emails every second? Why do I care about social selling?
Well, thanks so much. And I'm thrilled to be here as well. So social selling, you know, I'm going to start with when I started in sales in the early 90s, I didn't have email. And I sold okay. I did fine. But as email rolled out, it became essential as part of the sales process. Well, that's where we are in social selling. Right now, it's like, it's sort of in its infancy, believe it or not, where it's a lot of people are using it, but not everybody. And in the next few years, it will be as essential as email is today. So that's the first thing. But now let's talk about why that is. And it's because the internet has changed the buyer's journey. Our buyers are self-educators. They're out there finding content, Googling. When they have problems, they'll Google for solutions and ideas. And they're 57%, according to CEB, the Challenger sale, they're 57% of the way through their buying process before the vendors even know they're in the market. Because they're out there self-educating and really finding answers and gathering information. So if we are not the ones that are providing the insights, that are educating them, that are helping them move toward a solution, then our competition is. So we've got to embrace social on many levels to make sure that we are the ones that are influencing our buyers. And by the way, the goal of social is to take it offline. Unless you're selling a widget, you've got to have conversations. So the last thing you'll ever hear me say is don't make phone calls. Just make sure that the phone calls you're making are expected. And in fact, that you've provided so much value before they take the call, they're excited to get on a call with you. And that's the goal of social.
And so is it fair to say when you say that the buyer is 57% into their buying process before they engage with the vendor, is it fair to say that you're seeing social as a way to get in earlier, long before they hit that 57% and start engaging officially with vendors?
So I think not only get in earlier, but be the primary voice that they're listening to that's molding their decision-making process. You know, one thing that we know is buyers, you know, a lot of salespeople will say price matters so much. But, you know, from surveys and reports and insights over and over again, it shows that really it's the vendor that educates the most that typically gets the deal, because we're providing the way, the mindset, the way to look at this problem and solution. And so if we can provide that kind of value, they're going to gravitate towards us. So it's early and relevant.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So we know that it's essential. We know that buying has changed. We know that buyers have changed and the way they research have changed. But let me ask you this. When I think about a lot of sales organizations, they may hear some of this and think, well, my job is selling. I'm not in marketing. How do you kind of bridge the gap or approach when you talk to a sales team about why this is so relevant to them and it's not just another thing for marketing to do?
So first of all, you know, there is a very big difference between social marketing and social selling. So social marketing is about putting content out into the world and attracting people inbound traffic. That's done with, you know, a lot of tools and a lot of process. Social selling is prospecting using social tools. So it's still a sales role. It's about you as a salesperson researching, connecting, identifying shared connections that can you can leverage to get introductions. It's completely around the activities that a salesperson needs to do to build rapport, build curiosity, start engagement with an individual or individuals, and then take it offline. It's very targeted. I used to call it spearfish marketing versus marketing. It's like, I want that one and I'm going after them. It's also really important if you're doing account-based marketing, because social allows you to get insights across the entire organization at every level based on profiles and content they're sharing and so on.
Got it. So I know that one of the things that you do at Vingresso is you help teams roll out their social strategy, and you have 8 different stages of an enterprise social selling program. I want to get to that in a second, but before we do, how would a sales leader think about, you know, if I integrate this into my sales process, how do I view it? What does success look like? What are the KPIs that I should be paying attention to before we get into actually rolling out any program?
Well, so we have 8 stages of an enterprise social selling program. And so KPIs are absolutely the first step. We want to define, well, really a couple of things. We want ROI. So if we're sitting down a year from now and we say, man, that program was a great success, what does that look like? What does, you know, success look like? And that's our ROI. What's our return on investment of time and resources and money and all that fun stuff? Then we've got to create KPIs that measure, you know, weekly, monthly, quarterly, are we on track to hit that ROI or that expected goal? And those KPIs are all going to be around goals. And the goals really, there are 3 goals we have to look at. We have to look at company-wide goals, department goals, and rep goals. And we have to make sure that they are all aligning with, you know, with that ROI, and ultimately that we create the KPIs to measure the success. And the reason all 3 of those goals have to match up, like, you know, what the company wants as a whole obviously really matters. The department, and as a sales leader, I have to make sure that what I'm having my reps do is going to help me meet my department goals. And for a rep to really want to do this, and there is a lot of buy-in when it comes to social selling, it's got to help them meet their personal and professional goals. So then defining KPIs, which could be, I'm just going to give a couple of quick ones. It could be we create a search string of exactly the targeted buyers we want to meet. We look at a baseline of how many of those a rep has today. And then in 1 month we meet, if they had 20 today and in 1 month they have 40, we know that they have an additional new 20 net new folks and that are the right targeted buyers. If that's our KPI, then we, you know, based on what we are measuring success for that month, we'll know if in fact they're doing the work well. And if it's not, we have to tweak whatever the process is that they're doing. The next one is making sure that we do buyer identification and mapping. So I started with, I kind of threw in that you have a search string, but you've got to know exactly who your influencers are. We know that there are 6.8 decision makers on every single deal in the enterprise world. So we've got to identify who they are, map them out, and absolutely make it very simple for our sales reps to find the right people. Next, we have to make sure that the marketing is supplying the right content and or curating content, so it doesn't all have to be original, that moves our buyers toward us, like breadcrumbs. Like we're putting it out there, go, ooh, that's interesting. That's getting me to think a little differently about my current situation, or that's getting me to think a little bit differently about expectation. So that's really important. And then they've got to have the step four really in that. So that was three. The step four is developing a playbook and templates. So we've got to let our sales reps know what is productive activity that leads back to our KPIs and our ROI and the company and department and rep goals. So what are the right activities? Because I'll tell you one thing about social is you can fall into a deep black hole very quickly and get nothing productive done. So making sure you've got a playbook with the right activities and the right templates and messaging so that they're not rewriting, you know, messages all the time that we provide. We always encourage personalization and customization, but that they have a place to start. Then there's obviously like training and really teaching the reps what they need to do and how they need to do that. And most of the time we recommend that it's in workshop formula, like a workshop format, excuse me, so that the reps are doing the work in the training. If you just train them and send them back to their desks, they forget 90% of it. But if it's in workshop where they're doing it, they're prospecting, they're bringing it, you know, they bring in the five clients that they're trying to get that they're having a hard time getting to and working those and seeing, oh, look, my best friend from college is connected to someone in that company and I can leverage that person to get an introduction. And all of a sudden there are the aha moments and the buy-ins. Everyone goes, wow, that's awesome.
So I want to stop you there for a second and we'll get to 6 through 8, but I wanted to focus on something you said about playbook and templates. So what's productive in this idea of going into a black hole, which is why I've limited social media for myself, because I am a fantastic internet surfer, but no one pays me for it. And right. Also training and teaching reps. So let's say our goal is to find more prospects and start offline conversations. What would be in that playbook, or what templates would I need in order to take action on driving the metric of offline conversations through LinkedIn selling?
I love that question. So there's a few. I think the very first one is an introduction template. So dear listen, I hope this note finds you well. I noticed you were connected to Mario Martinez on LinkedIn. I've been trying to get in front of him for a couple of weeks now, and I'm wondering how well you know him and if you'd be open to making an introduction. If you are, I'd really appreciate it. And to make it easier, I've included a short paragraph below that you're welcome to copy and paste. Also, please feel free to look through my connections. I'm happy to make introductions for you as well. So now I'm out there. I use my search strings. I find the right people. I use a second degree filter so I can see who knows who I'm looking to meet. And I start to leverage my connections for those warm introductions. So that's a big one. There are also welcome messages. So you connect with the people and you want to provide value or ask to set up phone calls, and you've got to do it in a way that's relevant to them. So coming up with all of those templates in advance is really important.
But then how do you kind of transition? You know, this is what a lot of people I've heard asking anyways. How do I then transition it to an offline conversation? Is it just a matter of seeing if they're open to understanding whether or not you can help them, and then it's a matter. Mm. Go ahead.
That's a great question. So it always has to be in their best interest, right? They're not going to take our call because we want to sell them. So we've always got to be providing real value. So often I will say, listen, thank you so much for the introduction. Mario, I'm looking forward to having a conversation. I'd love to share some LinkedIn and social selling insights that have been able to help, you know, that you can implement even if we never work together. You know, here's a blog post to get, you know, to see a little bit about some insights that can help you right now. Looking forward to our call. Here's a link to my calendar. Please pick a time that's best for you. And so the call is around insights. And we also teach how to run that first call, because that first call it's an insights call, a little bit of discovery, but the close of that call is permission to move into a sales call.
Right, of course. Yeah. And at Sales DNA, one thing we advocate is to really give the buyer control and ask them, you know, where would you like to go from here? And if they're interested in learning more, of course, that would be the invitation into the sales call. Well, how do you approach that?
How do I convert it from the insights call to a sales call?
Correct.
So through the insights call, you know, first I tell them what, you know, kind of some insights or provide, I ask them questions. I'll go through. First, I ask them questions, and by saying, you know, I promised you I'd offer some insights that can help you in LinkedIn and social selling. But before I jump into my shtick, would it be okay if I ask you a couple questions so the insights I provide you are really relevant to your environment? So now I have permission to ask some discovery questions, make them two or three great ones because you don't want too many. Then with the information they give you, and I have almost the same insights every time. They're just kind of a little customized to the answers I got.
Sure.
And so I provide insights that are really good, jaw-dropping. They can go run with them if they never talk to me again. It was the best 15 minutes of their week. That's my goal. And then at the end, I remind them, right? These are the insights I just provided for you. You really loved them. I have additional insights I'd love to share with you, ones that we've been able to use to help our clients. Do you have a few extra minutes now, or did you want to set up a second call? And so as soon as you say ones that we've been able to help our clients, clearly I don't work for free, right? So if I've been able to help my clients and they say, yes, I'm interested in that, you now have permission to talk about your services.
Got it. Fantastic. Okay, so let's go back to your eight stages. I rudely cut you off. The last two that you talked about were the playbook and templates, number four. Number five is training and teaching reps. And number six is what?
Branding buyer-centric profiles. So making sure that, and really five and six are almost simultaneous, but it's making sure that the profiles are ready for the traffic you're about to draw in. Because you can ask for introductions all day long from centers of influence, but if your profile is screaming sales rep and that you're the best contract negotiator and you've been able to, you know, make President's Club 3 years in a row, if that's what it's screaming, when your buyer gets there, they have zero desire to talk with you. So we've got to create a buyer-centric profile, one that provides, and I actually will often say you have to get in the mindset from resume to resource. As a sales or a business development professional, whether you're a sales leader or you have a team of salespeople, all of them need to be positioned in a way that when the buyer shows up, they learn enough that gets them excited to take the call, willing to schedule a call, based on the information they got right from the profile. So that's number six. Number seven is a combination of gamify, reinforce, and measure. So training isn't enough. Somehow we have to reinforce the behavior, whether it's through a systemized approach internally, where it's part of their compensation, and then gamifying with leaderboards and having fun with stuff, which a lot of tools will do that, employee advocacy tools. There's lots of things out there that can create that. And you've got to measure what's working and not working, because even the best program will have gaps and holes and missteps, right? So there's got to be a constant measurement of what's working and what's not working and tweaking. And then eight is coaching for improvement. So once we've got this information, and there's got to be coaching at all levels. There's a coach, the manager, and then the manager has to learn how to coach the reps. And I like to say, like, don't just coach to the weaknesses, coach to the strengths. So if you have a rep that's doing really great with warm introductions, but that's doing terrible with content strategy, maybe we shouldn't work so much on the content strategy if we can get more out of the warm introduction. So, you know, there's a lot of the coaching becomes very individualized and really works with individuals and their strengths. So those are the eight steps, the eight stages.
Well, it's so good to hear you say coaching, because that's one thing that we emphasize in selling in general is just, you know, having a coach ask, you know, how do you think you're doing and what would you change? Just that moment of reflection, even if the coach weren't there, if the person just did that on their own, it would be such a huge road to improvement that a lot of people don't get otherwise. So, you know, there's so many benefits. And of course, providing actual guidance and know-how is huge for anybody who really wants to have rapid skill development. So I'm excited to hear you say that. Now, Bryn, we've come to the end of our time here. I want to know, I'm assuming it's going to be LinkedIn, but how should people get a hold of you or Van Gresso if they're interested in continuing the conversation?
Yeah, thanks. So definitely LinkedIn. I'm the only Bryn Tillman on LinkedIn to date. Van Gresso is simple. I mean, you can follow us on Twitter, Go Van Gresso, and it's V-E-N-G-R-E-S-O. Or vangresso.com. There's lots of great giveaways and goodies and downloads on our website. And for me, LinkedIn is best. That's great. And then when you connect with me, let me know that you heard me on Listen's show, and I'll send you a little gift of some resources that'll be really valuable.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Bryn, for being here. I really appreciate it. And I know the listeners got a ton out of what you had to share. So thank you.
Thanks. This was a lot of fun.